Hey, stay connected to the Cleveland Browns with the latest news and photos and videos and much, much more. Great stuff by Matt Florjancic, our staff writer. Videos, we're going to have a two-minute drill piece, a video piece that's going to be posted later on the Joe Banner interview right here on CBD. And visit ClevelandBrowns.com, download our mobile app, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, at Browns, and on Instagram, at Official Browns. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, a Football Thursday. And we are going to have a conversation coming up shortly, if he is on the line with us right now. Is he? Our buddy Joe Reedy? He's not there yet? All right. All right, we'll get him in a couple of minutes. But he is our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale, setting that up. He's going to get a hold of Joe Reedy, who is from the Cincinnati Inquirer, covers the Bengals, does a great job of it. He's actually from, I think, Akron, so he's kind of a local guy here, but he does cover the Bengals. He's got great perspective on the AFC North. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850 is the number to get aboard with us. You can also tweet us at Browns_daily.
Yes, you can. And we, you know, this is a matchup of big significance. We talked about that for the Cleveland Browns. And as we kind of dive into this thing, the matchup we talked about a little bit yesterday that I really am excited to see is A.J. Green and Joe Hayden. And A.J. Green enters this game with 100 yards receiving in five straight games. Five straight. In fact, he has more 100-yard receiving games in his last five than any receiver in the NFL has in the season. He has six on the season to lead the league, five in the last five games. So seeing how that matchup plays out between Joe Hayden and A.J. Green will be important. But again, to me, the most important thing for this Cleveland Browns team to do is get out off the field on third down. And to do that, they will need to be able to neutralize Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Tyler Eifert, Jermaine Gresham, these secondary options. And they did that very effectively in the first matchup. Yeah. That's why the Browns won that game. That's why the Browns held this Cincinnati Bengals team to just 6 points in that game. Because you look at it, they kept A.J. Green in check. He still had seven catches, but it was only 51 yards for A.J. Green in that one. But they took away the tight ends. They took away the secondary wide receivers. And I thought they did a very good job against Giovanni Bernard coming out of the backfield. That is going to be the key, because if you get Gresham at 50 yards, Eifert at 39, Sanu 19, they can win this game with that. Bernard had 38 receiving. But again, no big plays, no pass plays of more than 30 yards in that game. That's what the Browns need to do in this one. And I think they're up to that task. I really do. I think especially with the extra week to prepare, they should have a good idea how to deal with those extra options.
I think when Andy Dalton gets himself in trouble, and we're going to talk about this very shortly with Joe Reedy, I think he gets himself into trouble when he starts to force the issue, when he tries to get that ball into the hands of an A.J. Green on those deeper routes. He is not the most accurate deep ball thrower. I think that's one of the weaknesses of his game. But by offensive design, that is how a lot of those plays are set up. And I think if you can put him in a position, and just as you said, if the scenario plays out where he's not able to do a lot in a controlled way, extended handoff type of passing, that if that's taken away or minimized and that the running game isn't as effective as they need it to be with Giovanni Bernard, he should start forcing those throws, and I think that's where he could get into trouble. I think that could be an advantage to the Browns defense. Joining us now is someone who knows this Bengals team as well as anybody can. He is Joe Reedy, our good friend from Northeast Ohio, who is covering that team, has covered that team for a while for the Cincinnati Inquirer. Joe, how are we doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Outstanding, my friend. So what I just said there regarding Dalton and Andy really being the focus now of it would seem to me, Joe, a lot of pressure. Six interceptions in his last two games. Obviously, that bad safety that he took that ended the overtime game against Miami. Just some thoughts on the state of Andy Dalton right now.
Well, I mean, it kind of Vic, like any third year quarterback, there's good Andy and then there's bad Andy. I think that during October, he showed a lot of different ways to beat teams. In the Buffalo game, it was a short passing game against Detroit and the Jets. Teams basically loaded 8-9 up and dared him to go deep, and he won it on his arm, which he hadn't done his first 2 years in the league. And he did that But Miami and I think Baltimore, he's regressed. I've noticed that early in the season, he would get rid of the ball, learn to play another down instead of taking the negative plays and everything. And he's regressed to where now he's taking sacks when he shouldn't and everything. And, you know, the last two games, besides the 6 interceptions, there's been 10 sacks, which I think have taken their toll a little bit. And I think the other receivers have struggled a bit. Marvin Jones had 4 touchdowns against the Jets the past 2 games. Hasn't produced as well as he can. Mohamed Sanu, we're still waiting to see where was that guy that had a great November last year. We're still waiting for that. Jermaine Gresham missed the Baltimore game, but he should be back for this one. So I think that not only Andy, but the rest of this offense has to play well, because really Andy's going to carry this team. And if he has struggles like he has the past couple of weeks, it could be a one and out or more dangerous, especially considering the stakes on Sunday. Who knows? There's still a possibility for a late swoon and missing the playoffs.
When you talk about this team, and you talked about Andy Dalton a little bit of maybe the pressure that's on him, what's kind of the overall mindset of this Bengals team? They've lost 2 tough games in a row, seem to be kind of slipping away, have a big game, obviously, with the Browns, who have already beaten them once this year. What's the mindset? Do you sense any kind of panic with this team, or do you think they feel very much that they are still the team in control?
No panic yet. They still feel like they're a team well enough in control. They're still up by a game and a half. But if you lose this game on Sunday, it becomes a lot tighter, because it would be down to a half game with the Browns. They got Pittsburgh the following week while the Bengals are on the bye. Cleveland would own a tiebreaker by sweeping the season series, and the Bengals would also, importantly, go to 1-3 in the division. So this is a got to have it game, but I think the thing that has encouraged Marvin Lewis and maybe the guys in that locker room is this would be Bengals teams that in past years, that if they were down 17 at halftime in Baltimore, you were wondering just how bad the beating was going to be. And the fact that they came back, rallied, sent both of these games into overtime when they trailed on the road, and we're able to at least be competitive is a little bit of, gives them a little bit of confidence going into a home game this week.
And Joe, obviously the Bengals are going to see a very different situation at quarterback for the Browns than they saw in week number 4 with Jason Campbell at quarterback versus Brian Hoyer. So that brings its own set of issues, because I know they do have 2 games to study Campbell as a Browns quarterback. They can check out other tendencies from his previous 8 seasons in the league. But this, as you assess it, and as you saw what the Browns did offensively in the first game, how do you expect this matchup to unfold with a Browns offense led by Campbell versus Hoyer against a Bengals defense, which also has undergone some change, the most notable one being the loss of Geno Atkins?
I think the one advantage that the Bengals coaching staff does have is that Hugh Jackson, who's the running backs coach here, coached Campbell for 2 years. And I'm sure Mike Zimmer's been leaning on him a little bit, trying to figure out tendencies with Campbell and what makes him kind of produce and everything. And I know the one area from Campbell that I was impressed with in the Baltimore game was his ability to roll out and make plays on the run. I think he had the 2 huge fourth down conversions against the Ravens. I still think the biggest difference in this game, maybe, or similarity compared to the first game, is the running game. I think that the Bengals have done a good job shutting down running games. They didn't do that great a job against the Dolphins, but were really good last week against the Ravens. Now, I know there was the one series in the week 4 game when the Browns scored that second touchdown that it seemed like the run game was effective. But for the most part, they've done a good job on that. I think with the Browns, with Little and Gordon, the way they've been producing, Leon Hall's no longer in the secondary for the Bengals. And Adam Jones, I think, struggled a little bit going against Gordon in that first game. Now with the emergence of Little, and they'll probably play Chris Crocker in the slot on Bess and stuff. Just how do those matchups transpire? Because I think for the most part, since Hall's injury, we haven't really gauged the impact of how much Leon's absence would affect them. And I think the Browns are maybe a better receiving team from top to bottom compared to receiving units the Bengals have faced since Leon's injury.
Yeah, Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron, you're right with the emergence of Little and Devon Bess. Let me ask you about the Bengals ground game, because Giovanni Bernard seems to be becoming an electric playmaker that perhaps the Bengals would be best served to utilize more than the plotting Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Do you think that committee situation is here to stay, or as they get kind of towards this point of the season where this game, you know, is in many ways a must win for them, do you think you start to see more of Giovanni Bernard?
I think a little bit more, but I think the thing, because I know people keep talking about when they're going to see more and more of them, I kind of compare him to Ray Rice. And at this point, when you look at Ray Rice's rookie year and Giovanni Bernard's rookie year now, Gio's actually getting about 5 more touches in terms of receptions and carries. I think that he's been more dynamic as a receiver in the open field on the screen passes and stuff. As a pure running back, I think really since the New England and Buffalo games, he's kind of been stymied a little bit. His quality rush percentage has actually gone down the last 4 or 5 games. But what makes him so lethal is those screen passes and the way he's able to do that. But I also think more teams are guarding against those cutback runs and all of that. I think Baltimore on that 4th-and-2 screen pass in overtime last week did a very good job of staying at home and basically containing him to where it was an 11-yard loss in overtime. But I don't think we saw Gio be productive that much against Cleveland in week 4, but, you know, there could be those screen passes and those opportunities in this game to open it up and develop. And I think with Benny, it's almost been too predictable with him at times. Usually when we see him, it's those runs on first downs and everything. And I think they maybe when play calling a little bit, they got to mix that up.
Joe, knowing how much the Browns, we're visiting with Joe Reedy, by the way, he covers the Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer. Knowing how much the Browns struggle to run the football, that they basically have had no running game to speak of, how do you anticipate Mike Zimmer to address that maybe this time around with an even more pronounced sense of, okay, that's not something that we have to really worry about, so we can adjust defensively, and maybe he'll do some more things schematically to put pressure on Jason Campbell, but I mean, relative to what you said about Hugh Jackson being on that staff and maybe even being able to download him on Campbell's tendencies, that you could see this being a pretty creative, clever scheming game for Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, I think that any amount of four-man rushes and everything. I think the one thing Zim was very successful on last week was, besides the defensive line, bringing linebackers and bringing DBs to blitz more. Vinny Ray, a fourth-year guy from Duke who's been mainly a special teams guy here, had 3 sacks in the interception last week. The Ravens kind of taking Ray Malaluga's place.
All right, Joe, your phone. I think your phone. We're getting a bad connection here, but we got your main points, and we do thank you for taking the time that you did take. And I look forward to seeing you on Sunday, my friend.
No problem, Vic. Take care.
All right. He is Joe Reedy, and he is from the Cincinnati Inquirer. His phone got really good right at the end there, but
it certainly did.
But we did get his points made, and he's always wonderful and thorough in breaking that team down. Gerard Cherry is going to join us in a little bit. Hear from Gerard. Let's hear from the peeps. 216-578-0850. You know the number. Dial us up and tweet us at Browns_daily, at NATHANZEGORA, at VICCARUCCI. Want to hear from you.